Wilshire Brothers, which was founded with a downtown store on Spittle Street, we called it, in 1921. We have Atkinson Candy, which started operations in 1932 when B.E. Atkinson began selling candy out of the backseat of his car. We also had Red Ball Motor Freight Company, which is a nationally known freight line, which originated here in the 20s. We had Landapan's Dairy Products, which is originated in 1946 by five druggists and two other businessmen. And we had Angelina Plywood, which was founded by Angelina Canada Lumber Company in Santa Petersburg. We also had some enterprises that we were not so proud of. We had a horse race track where George Henderson has his office now. And I think that probably tells you something. I'm not sure what. And
your yes, time is just about up.
And yes, we did bet on the horses at that time. In fact, this race track is another interesting story. It was promoted by the Chamber of Commerce, and while the Chamber thought about building a railroad track directly from the railroad station in downtown Lubbock to the horse track, where George has his office, but they decided not to, with a Louisiana gambler came to town and rigged the horse racing and left their money. We also had the tobacco farm, which was located on the Lufkin. That was the creation of a man named Natalio, a lawyer who married the son of the president, Dr. Taylor. In 1899, he bought 500 acres of land beside the St. Louis and Southwestern Railroad, planted 50 acres in tobacco, and began to build curing sheds and a number of other amenities that were needed to farm tobacco. But the pine lands of East Texas were not especially suited for tobacco. The tobacco had a long color. It didn't taste right, and it didn't cure properly, so he abandoned his endeavor and moved away. What has our industrial community given us over the past years or so? Well, the answer includes a legal plant. One, thousands of good jobs, the economic engine for our growth, the creation of some of our largest foundations, a strong tax base, Anthony College, Brown College Country Club, a regional medical community, and some of the most generous charity people in the world. A less appreciated part of our industrialization lies in places that we seldom see. They're called ghost towns, and they're the remnants of those industries that we left behind. Manning was a sawmill town, which at one time was our second largest town in Angelina County. It was in South Angelina County. It was owned by the Carter Kelly Lumber Company. It was the home of many Lumberjacks who are still here today. In fact, one of them, Bob Holden, once wrote a book about Manning. Ewing was a sawmill town. Remnants now rest on the west side of Raymond Lake in Ewing, other than being the town in which George Henderson's mayor of today, is known for the tragic death of one of his owners, John Henderson, who fell into a sawdust pile, a burning sawdust pile, as he walked over his dying town. Ewing's existence was also chronicled in a book by Lamar Tinsley, who used to live there. We also saw the disappearance of the sawmill at Buckland, which was the only sawmill incident here founded inside the corporate city limits of Lufkin. Allridge, a sawmill town that was owned by Allridge Lumber Company, left behind the most famous sawmill ruins in Texas, and at one time operated a little railroad called the Burrsbury, Roundell, and Chester Railroad, which everybody called the falter, the bang, and collapse. We also had a sawmill at Hochelle, where the commissary owner was killed by a man. He became the first Angelina County man to receive the death sentence and died of electric chair, and only the seventh in Texas to die by that method. All of this underscores an old, old axiom that we have in history. Where you have growth, you have ghosts too. Thank you.
Good job, Jimmy Bob. I do appreciate you calling to our attention a lot of the watershed events of our time. And certainly we can't name all the individuals who contributed to all this stuff. But one of the things I thought you might have covered, and I see Beth Grimm out here, is the Lucky Daily News. W.R. Bowman Mayor is probably, in addition to having given Bob Bowman his first job, it is probably unique in the fact that he made a little Jake Lake Town newspaper like Lucky News come alive and was the mouthpiece for all of East Texas. And I do think that's a part of Lucky's watershed events is the Lucky News and contributions of Bowman Mayor. In the 66 years that I've been here, Lucky's had great leadership, and it's obvious that they've had tremendous leadership. prior to that. But the truth is, as I see it, I think we have made a quantum leap in the last 15 to 20 years in Lufkin. And I think that's been because we've had two outstanding city managers run back to back. Harvey Westholm sitting out here in Arkansas being obviously one of them. And I mentioned C.G. Mack is going to take the mic here in just a minute and talk about the future. But we have had some vision within the city government, and as I say, I think a quantum leap lately. And to tell us what we look forward to is our own city manager, C.G. Mack.
Thank you. We were talking about the Lufkin Daily News a moment ago, and today's editorial page, it quotes a portion of the study from the Texas Water Development Board. Over the last 2 years, all of Texas has been, as a result of Senate Bill 1 from the state legislature 2 years ago, has been performing a study to determine the water needs of the state of Texas for the next 50 years so that we would have a blueprint or a game plan, if you will, of how we're going to meet the needs in terms of water of our citizens for the next 50 years. And in that report, it notes that it's anticipated that the growth of Lufkin Nacogdoches area over the next 50 years will be 112%. And that in the same time period, Tyler will be about 87%. Thereby, by 2050, Lufkin Nacogdoches will surpass Tyler Smith County area in terms of total population. So that's kind of something to think about for the next 50 years. I don't know if I'll be around 50 years from now to see if that was true or not, but it is something to indicate that Lufkin, as indicated in the census for 2000, is one of the fastest growing areas in East Texas, and we have many things to be prepared for as a result of that. And one of the ways to be prepared for that is our city council last year adopted a 5-year capital improvements plan. And as we mentioned, we've got two council members here, Mr. Bowman and Mr. Kirkendall, and the council embraced this 5-year capital improvements plan, and it's a work in progress, and each year we update that to meet the needs of our city and to adjust our plans so that we can wisely and efficiently and place the city's monetary funds in the best possible utilization so that we get the most for your tax dollar that we possibly can. So in that 5-year capital improvements plan, there's several things that you'll be seeing become a reality over the next 5 years. At our next city council meeting on June the 5th, the council will have a couple of bids to award relating to the replacement of our water lines. We're going to be replacing what's known as asbestos cement water lines with PVC lines, and this will involve about 65 miles of pipe, or about 25% of our distribution system. So a little better than 25% of the city's distribution system for water will be replaced over the next 4 years. In addition to that, in the area of water, the city has begun a study and a plan and implementing phase one of that plan to go to Sam Rayburn for surface water. In our projections of growth for the city in Angelina County, it would appear that at our current rate of growth, by the year 2010, we will have reached the maximum peak pumping capacity of our groundwater. Right now, 100% of the water supply in Angelina County comes from groundwater, most of which is from the Carrizo-Wilcox aquifer. There's a little bit in Diboll that's in a smaller, less quality aquifer, but most of the north half of Angelina County and most of all of the communities, cities, and rural water districts are served by groundwater from the Wilcox aquifer. Well, if we reach the peak pumping capacity in 2010 as projected, then in essence we will have capped out on our ability to provide water to our citizens. In other words, we would just have to quit growing. Well, obviously that's not an acceptable alternative. And fortunately for us, in 1967, our city forefathers were visionary enough to have participated and achieved water rights in Sam Rayburn Reservoir. We are the only entity who has the legal authority to take water out of Sam Rayburn from the surface water. Now, the Lower Neches Valley Authority gets water, but they get it after it goes down the Neches River and Angelina River and on down to Beaumont. But the city of Lufkin is the only entity that has surface water rights on Rayburn. And we will begin the process of moving towards going to the lake to augment or supplement our groundwater supply with surface water supply. We'll continue to use our groundwater, but over a period of time, we'll become more and more dependent on the surface water, up to approximately 26 million gallons a day of surface water is what our capacity is. And LNVA has indicated that we could get even more surface water if we desire. But the council authorized a plan that would allow us to begin the process of acquiring the land for a water treatment plant, a surface water treatment plant near Rayburn, and to acquire the right-of-way necessary for the pipeline that would run from Rayburn back to Lufkin. And that's something we'll be doing, that along with the permitting and what we call a rate analysis over the next 4 or 5 years. We hope to accomplish all those items so that by around 2005 or 2006, then we would be ready to start construction if our growth rate continues at its present level. If it doesn't, then we can delay that and delay our expense. If it were to go a little faster, we've built in the ability to fast track it so that we would never get in a position where we'd have to turn industry away or tell our existing industry they have to cut back by expediting our option to go to Sam Rayburn for surface water. In the area of streets, we have numerous street projects that I think are the bread and butter, if you will, of infrastructure projects in a city. A lot of people judge the quality of the city by the quality of its streets. And so the city council has placed a high emphasis and priority on street improvements and street projects. And we have a capital improvements project that will make significant improvements to numerous major streets in our community through what we call reconstruction. And through reconstruction, that's where we basically will rebuild the street. We'll actually mill it, cut it all the way back down to the original ground level, go back in with new base materials, new foundation, and actually build a brand new street from the bottom up. And by doing so, we will prolong life and actually get better value out of our dollar. In recent years, we've done a lot of overlays, and the overlays have been a good way to provide a nice new surface for a short period of time. But if the base is bad, you put an overlay on it, eventually that overlay will fail also. So we've taken a more long-term approach into our street program by doing reconstructions, which we feel like in the long term will save our citizens and taxpayers many dollars. Within that, though, we've got numerous streets that we will begin on this summer. And next summer, you're going to see a lot of street improvements, and unfortunately, you're going to see a lot of torn-up ground where we're putting in these new water lines. The good news is we budgeted large amounts of sod to go back in and replace the sod where those new water lines are going to be to put in the ground. So it's kind of one of those issues, you know, it's going to feel real good when it quits hurting, but right now it's going to be hurting for a while, and it will be a little bit of a visual eyesore to the city during this construction period, but once it's completed, it will meet the needs of the city for many, many years to come in the future. On May the 5th, our citizens approved a second bond election in the last 10 years. The first one was in 1994, and on May the 5th, by a whopping margin of 26 votes, the citizens approved a second bond election for four streets. These four streets include Lotus Lane, Abney, Angelina, and White House Streets. And basically, we'll be going in and widening these streets to a three-lane curb and gutter. In the case of Lotus Lane, it has no drainage. It's a very narrow, somewhat dangerous street, and it'll be widened to a three-lane. It'll have a storm sewer and curb and gutter that it currently doesn't have. And the same is true on White House. And what's unique about White House is we've already secured from the Texas Department of Transportation a grant to cover most of the cost to improve White House from US 59 there by the current Walmart east over to the new two-lane street that was part of the 1994 bond election. The bond election that was passed on May the 5th will continue those improvements from two-lane east all the way over to FM 58. So the net product then, after both projects are completed, will be a widened three-lane curb and gutter street from US 59 all the way over to FM 58 or Chestnut. So this is going to enhance transportation flow. We feel confident that when the new Super Walmart goes in next door to Dr. Thames, we'll have a lot more traffic in that neighborhood. And so we need a way to help that traffic flow a little freer. And so by making these improvements with both two-lane and White House, it will help meet those needs. There's some other improvements that TxDOT will be doing that will also provide some temporary construction problem issues in Lufkin, and that's on US 59 South, on the loop on the east side, and the loop on the north side. In the next 5 years, you will see improvements made to US 59 from the loop south to 819, hopefully. Initially, it'll be to Brentwood, and then eventually from Brentwood on down to 819, so that it will create what's called a closed access freeway, a six-lane freeway with two feeder roads on each side, or frontage roads. And so in front of where Outback and Walmart and Days Inn and Keens at Home, from there, that will become a closed access freeway. But right now, if you go to Days Inn, you kind of take your life in your own hands when you pull out of Days Inn from the Lions Club or Kiwanis Club or Rotary or whatever. Pulling out there, it's kind of dangerous to get up to speed real quick because of the traffic on the freeway. You won't have to deal with that after this is completed because you'll have frontage roads and the freeway traffic will be separate. And the only way you get on the freeway is either at Brentwood 819 or at the crossing at Duluth at 59. You know, the fact is, the traffic flow at the intersection of 59 and Duluth in front of the mall is the highest traffic count of any site between Houston and Tyler. And as a result of that, they're going to be investing the dollars to build a northbound overpass. Right now, we have a southbound overpass that was built in about 1988 and 1989. This will add a northbound lane so that all that traffic, the big 18-wheelers that go flying through there, they're going to basically have their own freeway, and we as citizens will have frontage roads. If we want to get on the freeway, we can. If we don't want to, we don't have to. And we'll have a little less risk, so to speak, in terms of the traffic. Likewise, TxDOT's goal, then, is to continue that around the East Loop so that the East Loop becomes the short-term bypass for the city. By making it a short-term bypass, it will likewise be closed access, meaning that you don't just pull on and off the freeway like you do now. You'll only be able to get on the freeway at crossovers like at Ford Chapel 103 or at the Loop at 8th. And there'll be a new crossover built at Paul Street. If you remember when we closed the crossover there at Paul Street due to a large number of accidents, TxDOT put in the plans to put a crossover there, what they call a grade crossing or a bridge, so that the freeway traffic would go over and the local traffic would go underneath. But first you'll see that area from the high school there at Lufkin Avenue up to 103 become a closed access freeway with feeder roads. Then you'll see it happen again on the North Loop from just there where you turn to go to Kit McConico in the northeast corner of the loop. From there all the way to US 59, where it turns to go to Nacogdoches, that will become a closed access freeway because of all the accidents that have happened in front of Charlie's with the 18-wheelers and personal thing and another. You will have a freeway with feeder roads, the same as I mentioned on 59 South, in an effort to help make it safer and improve the traffic flow. And then at US 59, they will be doubling the size of the radius of the clover leaf. You know, you have a clover leaf there where you make this big turn and go around. Coming from Nacogdoches, you want to go to downtown Lufkin, you make this circle turn, come back in, go underneath, go back into Lufkin. Well, they're going to actually double the radius or the size of those clover leaves in an effort to improve the safety there also. So these are all projects that are projected to be done over the next 5 years. So you can see that's, we're talking over $100 million in projects to be done here inside the city limits of Lufkin, and that's an awful lot of work. But I'm about out of time. I'm afraid the whip's fixing to come, so I'm going to turn it back over to George before the whip comes alive here.
Boy, $100 million, it's not much to think past, is it, CJ? That's amazing. I've got the 120, and you've been very patient, and I appreciate that. Nobody's left, and I don't think anybody's gone to sleep. Yeah, 320, I'm sorry. We've been here an hour and 20 minutes. What I want to do is give you an opportunity to ask any questions or tell any stories that you might have. Now, I want to temper this. JP's arranged for some refreshments down the hall here, I think. Is that right? And give you an opportunity when we shut this down to take advantage of that. And if you want to visit with any of these folks individually, that's fine. But right now, I think we've got a few minutes. I'd be glad to field questions or have stories. Yes, ma'am.
I don't have a story about history in Lufkin. As you can hear, I'm not from here. But we lived from 77 to 82. I'm standing waiting for traffic to go past, and I see a big crane go by, slowly. Big thing. Lufkin. Never heard of Lufkin. And you didn't see that often because the traffic in Singapore is very regulated and big things are not supposed to go through the inner city. So I think I saw it one more time. At that time, absolutely no idea that I would end up living in Lufkin. I thought that was quite... And I had no idea where that name came from, because to me, as a European coming into the States, Lufkin doesn't mean anything. Most of the names mean something. So that's why it's so interesting that you told where the name Lufkin came from, because I heard about two possibilities. We had something to do with the lumber in the Discover Room a few years ago, and there it was that there were two possibilities that Lufkin was named for, the man from Galveston, and what was the other one? Okay.
Well, it's a welcome to Lufkin.
Yes, I love it here.
But it is a small world, and Doug Smith, sitting in the back of the room, president of Lufkin Industries, has a plant at Batam Island, just off the edge there of Singapore, which I'm sure you're familiar with, which actually is a part of Indonesia, I guess, but within a rock-throwing distance, I suspect, of Singapore. So it is a small world. Thank you for that observation. Anybody else? It's hard for me to believe that Ruth Grant is not going to tell us a story, too. She's got to be. Now, she called me the other night, and WD got talking about the doctor. My grandfather was a physician in Lufkin around the turn of the century, I've heard a lot of people that knew him. I never heard anybody tell any great life-saving stories about my grandfather. So Ruth tells me that, and those of you who recall, I probably have read the Angelina County historical book that Bob edited, put out some time back, if you remember Idy. And Idy was the old mayor that Mr. Cumberson had. Mr. Cumberson had an ice cream factory here, ice cream factory. And Idy was his mule that he also had around the turn of the century. He was probably one of the most famous residents of Lufkin. Idy lived to be 44 years old and led most ever parade, funeral procession, fire truck hauling, and at age 44, the last several months, I guess, of his life, they were concerned about it and didn't want to suffer, so they had him put down. And Ruth tells me it was my grandfather that they called to put old Lottie down, and he was buried right off the edge of Glendale or Hillcrest Cemetery, one right out here. So, Ruth, if you've got any stories, I'm sure this crowd would love to hear one or two of them.
One I just thought about telling, that name to be when she spoke, that name seems to be lucky much. Well, yes, it does. First time we went to England, we had to go to the bank and get us some money, and the first morning, and when we stepped out of the bank, there was traffic. This traffic was backed up. I had my camera with me, and there was, when we stepped out of the bank, this followed traffic right in front of us, a huge red truck, and on the side of it, it said Arthur Temple Cattle Company, and I took a picture of it, and in England, I was just so surprised. Somebody said, well, no, that's where my cattle go, they go.
Joan.
Okay, it's kind of reminiscent of what Ruth was saying. If you remember checking over and you were a stranger, and we were on a ship in Greek Islands, Chester went back and started visiting this guy on the back deck, and he came in and he said, well, who is he, Chester? He said, well, he's from Germany. And he said, I told him I was from a little town in East Texas called Lufkin. He said, you won't know it. He said, yeah, I really will. I was a prisoner of war camp there in Lufkin.
And you know, that's a good point. That's one we have left out because we did have a huge POW camp here and that worked the woods for the paper mill.
And I was out in the yard, and my husband was standing closer to the road, and this man walked up the driveway, and asked Bunny if he'd lived there. Well, he said, no, but my wife had. And so he came around the backyard, Mother and I were sitting out there, And he was a prisoner of war stationed out at Chelsea. And he had said that he had spent 2 years there, and he had come back to see what the town had done in these 2 years. And but one of the questions he asked, do you still have to go across the river? and that was one of his jobs, that he went across and got their beer rations every day.
Well, you know what? We're building, they're about to open up in the fall the Farm Arts Center out at Indian Cottage, which is going to seat somewhere around 900. Is that number about right? And we think about how great that thing is, but the truth is, and Woody and Bob both probably, Woody was probably there at the time, a little before mine, but did we not have an opera house here that seated 1,000?
Well, not
that. Well, that's a good story.
Chamber of Commerce out there.
Thank you.
And it burned in one of the great fires about 1912. It's called the Lucky Opera House. I have one that stocks certificates.
It's incorporated,
and I have a copy of one of the
certificates. Just because it tells us, how many did it
see? I think it sees 300.
Well, that's very good.
And what caused it burned the Upperback Hotel. Now, the Upperback Hotel burned that night also when it did it next to the Opera House.
I think it was.
Service station type business. Newberry run a tax cab stand up. They hired cars and rented cars. On July 4th, 1936, we had a shootout there that killed more people than died at OK Corral. Right there in Lufkin, and five people lost their lives in some of the shootouts. But they had all of them for less than an hour. But quite a story. We'll tell that another time.
Any other comments or stories? Then,
I have a comment.
All right.
Yes, I would like to thank all of you on behalf of President Beth Grimm, Bobo, your granddaughter, Joe Kirk's little, Bridget, Joe Kirk, Doug Kelly, and this is the right. We often hear people in Lufkin, Nancy Kirby Lufkin, still referred to as Guy Kirk's little girl.